And welcome back, everybody, to the Hangout in the Holy Land, the official podcast of LandGrantHolyLand.com, your free premier resource for all things Ohio State news and Ohio State sports. I am your intrepid host, Matt Brown. It's good to be back, everybody. I've missed you. I've been traveling a little bit. I've been in North Carolina a couple of times, been out and about, but now I'm back behind the desk, and I'm ready to talk some Ohio State with my man Colton. We are recording this here on Wednesday, April 6th in the afternoon. Normally, I'd make some kind of quip about the weather, but let's be real, everybody. I've been stuck in this office here for the past couple hours. I don't think I could even really tell you what the weather's like right now, and you probably don't care because you're not even going to listen to this today. Colton, what's good?
Not much, Matt. I actually just did some traveling myself. I got back from WrestleMania weekend out in Dallas, Texas. Yesterday morning, I was there from Thursday until Tuesday, had a hell of a time, got to see a bunch of crazy stuff, got to see The Rock come out with a flamethrower and set a sign of his name on fire, and that's actually kind of fitting because we'll get into the metaphorical flamethrower that's been taken to the Ohio State basketball roster here in a little bit, but that was a ton of fun. I had probably the best 5 days of my life out there at WrestleMania weekend, so that was really cool. But I'm back home now, ready to talk a little bit of Ohio State basketball, break down a bit of Ohio State spring practice for football. We got the spring game coming up in a few weeks, I believe, and just ready to get it going, post-college basketball, pre-NFL. So we're really kind of in that dead period of sports right now, but when there's Ohio State football, it's never really quiet.
Yeah, so you touched on a bunch of things that I do want to talk about, but let's roll back the tape a second, because one of the really interesting things, I think, now that I'm part of college football internet and everything, is this kind of immersion in wrestling culture, which I completely missed as a kid. I think I played one of the N64 games a little bit, but I never really watched it on TV. And I've just been amazed with the staying power of this. Like when I was a teacher, my fourth grade kids loved it, and my coworkers here love it. Tell me more about the atmosphere at this thing, because like this is a whole new world for me, and you had me at a flamethrower. That sounds dope as hell.
There was so much to it because I was out there for almost every single event. There was an NXT event, which is sort of a developmental brand / independent brand that they have for more of the hardcore fans. That was probably the highlight of the weekend for me. That was really cool. And then Saturday, I went to the what you would describe as the NFL fan experience at the Super Bowl. It's called Access. Everybody gets together in a convention center, signs autographs. You see a bunch of cool memorabilia, just basically what you would see at like an all-star game or the Super Bowl. And then Sunday was obviously WrestleMania. And since it was in Jerry's World in Arlington, Texas, it was a huge spectacle, 100,000 people. Like I said, The Rock came out with a flamethrower. You had old men jumping off 25-foot cages onto a table. It was just all sort of nonsense that was poetically beautiful, I think. But it seems like either something you either really like or you really dislike, or kind of where you are, where you're just stuck in the middle of wondering what the hell is going on.
Yeah, it's not something that I dislike. It's just new. I feel like I should go to an event. I should go find some of my colleagues, find some other writers, and take this in, because I feel like I'd probably like it. I like spectacle. I like people tackling each other, or at least, you know, pretending to tackle each other in a way that I can believe. I like flamethrowers, and I like irony. So I feel like this would be fun. Maybe later in this offseason, we'll talk a little bit about some things we can do now that like big sports are over. But before we do, let's talk about some flamethrowing hot takes. There's a little bit of a shortage of like hard and fast, like big Ohio State stories. No one's committed over the last couple of days, and I don't expect anybody to do that this month. But there have been some pretty hot takes flying around, particularly around a guy that you might have forgotten about from a previous recruiting class. That's a Kentucky commit, Landon Young. He was a four-star offensive lineman. He gave an interview to an outlet called SEC Country a couple of days ago, where he did not have positive things to say about his recruitment experience with Urban Meyer and Ohio State. In particular, Urban Meyer allegedly said that Young was an insubstantial tackle, an insubstantial player, and had an insubstantial offers from an insubstantial school, since Kentucky was, I think, the first guy to get in on him. Ohio State, big surprise, did not get Young. Meyer had some responses later. He said he doesn't, you know, try to slam people on purpose. That's his feelings. He went back, talked to his staff, and wished that they had Landon Young. What do you think about all of this? On the internet, I heard everything from, well, Kentucky actually is insubstantial, to Urban Meyer is history's greatest monster. Landon Young shouldn't have said anything. What do you think about this whole brouhaha?
I think that it's a very spring story when it comes to football, and it's probably somewhere in the middle. I mean, we see now that Urban Meyer's at Ohio State just how driven he is for success when it comes to recruiting and on-the-field stuff. I think we're all smart enough to realize that there's probably more than one kid in the history of college football since Urban Meyer's been a coach that feels this way about Urban Meyer. We've seen how prickly he can be at some point, so that's not really a surprise. And on the other hand, you hope that fans aren't coming at this kid after saying this. I think it's somewhere in the middle. I do also think that Meyer isn't wrong calling Kentucky an insubstantial school. I think we all have seen what they've done in football over the last decade and pretty much throughout their non-Bear Bryant history. But this just seems like one of those spring stories, just like the Harbaugh stuff, that'll blow over as soon as something on the field happens or spring practice really ramps up. But I do believe what Meyer said in terms of he's disappointed with the staff not getting on this kid earlier, but I just think it's one of those fine lines when you're a big program like Ohio State or maybe like Alabama that some of those recruiting tactics push a kid too hard sometimes, and that's bound to happen.
Yeah, the reference to Harbaugh, I think, is fair. There was something like this with a kid that was with Nebraska that he ended up doing and kind of disparaged the kid's academic ability or anything. I don't doubt that he is occasionally blunt. And it also doesn't seem wrong to say that Young was somebody that was, despite having really high ratings. I mean, I think 247 gave him a 5-star. He was a consensus 4-star, 0.96, like a highly rated guy, but wasn't somebody that got a ton of offers or a ton of attention throughout his process. Like 247's only reporting he's got like 8 offers. He's from Lexington, Kentucky. I don't know if people just assume like, you know, hometown kid's going to get locked down or anything. That's going to rub some people the wrong way. And even for some of these highly rated kids, for a lot of them, Ohio State doesn't need to necessarily, you know, I guess beg, especially at offensive line, a position that Ohio State's recruited pretty well recently. It surprises me a little bit. For as successful as Ohio State's been at recruiting, I would not have thought that they were going to be so blunt or, you know, kind of tear a kid down a little bit. That's not going to work on everybody. If the kid wants to say that he was really displeased with that, I think that's fine. I don't have a problem with anything he said. And I don't really have a problem with Meyer's response. Like, there's one thing that I do appreciate, somebody in my position, is that when you ask Urban Meyer a question, he's usually going to give you an actual answer. He's not going to dance around it as much as Jim Tressel or some other Ohio State coaches did. So not something that for me is worth getting mad online about. If you're a Kentucky fan and wants to get mad online about it, like, that's fine. I feel like the results kind of speak for themselves at this point. And we'll see if the Wildcats can make a bowl game this year.
Just another storied chapter in the Ohio State-Kentucky rivalry. Such pageantry.
So, no, it's a tradition unlike any other. If the teams don't play each other for a long time, which in football I would expect, and basketball maybe too, we'll always have this year's basketball game where Trevor Thompson suddenly turned into Hakeem Olajuwon and just dunked all over a bunch of NBA draft picks, leading to an upset and the high point of what was a pretty disappointing basketball season. Speaking of basketball season, in the business, we call that a segue, kids. This is a little bit old news right now, but we didn't get a chance to talk about it with both of us kind of being on the road. Shit's on fire for Ohio State basketball. In the extremely unlikely event that you somehow missed this, basically everybody in Ohio State's like top 5 2015 recruiting class is gone, except for Jaquan Lyle, the one person that I think maybe we expected to be the first one to leave. And for my money, one I would expect to leave the program after next year just because he's old and has NBA aspirations. Everybody transferred. Mickey Mitchell has transferred. AJ Harris has transferred. Daniel Giddens has transferred. Austin Grandstaff transferred a couple months ago. And now the Buckeyes have a bunch of scholarship space, both for 2016 and 2017. They badly need guards, since there's only really 2 true guards on this roster. And now you have a lot of people wondering, has Thad Matta pulled a Mark Richt and lost control of this program? So I have some thoughts here, and I wrote about this a little bit, and I have some more thoughts that are evolving. But my first question for you is, how concerned are you right now about what these transfers mean for the program, both in the long term and in the immediate kind of short term?
I honestly don't know, but I think when you look at it, it has to be a little bit concerning that you've had three players, or at least three players, in the last week, and then, as you mentioned, Austin Grandstaff leave from what was a pretty highly touted recruiting class in 2015. But also, I'm looking at Grant's article on the website right now, which you should check out, talking to Thad Mata about all the transfers. He says, quote, "We pretty much knew those guys were going before it happened." So it's not like this was a complete surprise to the program. So on that hand, you think, okay, that's good. They knew it was going to happen. But on the other hand, it's also a problem, I think, that this is happening in the first place. So I don't know if I'm completely concerned about going forward, but you never want to have four players from one of the best recruiting classes in the country not be a part of the roster in two seasons unless they're going to the NBA. That's a problem.
Yeah. So I think that there's two ways to look at this, right? We can look at it in the very short term, player by player specific cases. We can look at AJ Harris and say, you know, it's never good to lose your backup point guard when you don't have another backup point guard. But this was somebody who was three-star, I think, for most of his recruiting process, didn't have a ton of other big offers. He's really short, and while he's blazing fast, I think could have played for Ohio State and could have contributed to Ohio State, could Ohio State find somebody who could do what he did relatively soon? I think so. I would not be shocked if Harris ends up transferring to either an Atlantic 10 or a MAC school and ends up being a contributor there. I think some people have tied him to Kent State. That wouldn't shock me. So Mickey Mitchell, high four-star guy, somebody that transferred through a bunch of different high schools when he was in high school, never really stuck around, had suffered a couple of big injuries, and I think the athleticism that we saw in high school isn't really there. Great passer, good ball handler for his size, can't shoot, limits what you can do with him on the roster. Stinks to lose him. Could that production be replaced? I think so. Austin Grandstaff, it's kind of hard to say what he was because we only saw him for 10 games. Somebody who could shoot, someone whose body needed a lot of work, wasn't ready to defend at a Big Ten level immediately. Like, that's not a slight. He's a freshman. Few freshmen are. Yeah, I bet he has a nice career at Oklahoma, but it's not the worst thing in the world to lose him. I'm most bummed about losing Daniel Giddens because one of those four, I think he was the one who was most able to play, you know, 20-plus minutes a night next season, and you could see that potential already. Daniel Giddens cannot shoot. He cannot shoot free throws. He cannot shoot more than 8 feet away from the basket, and he was not very good at avoiding fouls through last year. But he's a freshman, and you could already see that he can jump out of the gym. You could see that intensity. Like, he's a plus shot blocker right now. And it's not a surprise to see some really big-name programs, including Kentucky, that are looking after him. So it stinks to lose him. But Ohio State's going to return their top six players in their rotation, and people that they're gonna be adding to this recruiting class are probably not going to make a big impact. So if nobody else gets hurt and Thad Mata goes back to his characteristically short bench, it may not be a huge deal for 2016. But I'm concerned for the future because that means that this staff did not do a solid enough job either in their recruiting and in their assessments of these players to figure out whether they were going to stay or not, whether there was some adversity or whether they were going to stay because they were fit. And that means you're trusting that same staff then to make assessments for 2017 and beyond. And the fact that this is happening relatively late in the cycle, we'll talk about this in a second, there's really not a whole lot of people you can add this year. And even next year, Ohio State's kind of late on some of these kids. So we're looking at not being able to kind of turn this roster around and change this balance potentially until 2018. And I think that's a cause for some concern.
Yeah, and it's not like football where if you lose a commitment or somebody decides to transfer, you have 40 other guys or that spot can be filled just as easy, like you're saying. In basketball, it's so much more concentrated that when stuff like this does happen, you don't really have any room to maneuver unless the transfer market is so big and you have players that are interested at those open positions that you can bring them in. And that seems like it really isn't the case. But just generally speaking, I want to know what you think about the health of the program in general. There's three straight years where the win total has declined. I think this year was the most frustrating, even with an NIT appearance and making it to the second round before losing to Florida. You have that big win over Kentucky, a couple of nice Big Ten conference wins, but the slow start to the season in the non-con. How concerned are you about Ohio State basketball?
I am concerned. I am very much not a Thad Mata needs to go person. In fact, seeing that stuff on Twitter and in our comment section makes me pretty mad. Like, when I hear that, I hear that's from somebody who I don't think has any perspective about Ohio State's basketball program, both its like recent history and its real pecking order, I think, within this sport. But I think it's really hard to not look at the past couple of years, this transfer situation, Ohio State's really multiple high-profile recruiting misevaluations, both in terms of striking out on some high-profile guys that they really went in on and then missing on some in-state kids who have been productive Big Ten players. The past couple of years, that's an issue. I think that there's probably cause for there to be a shakeup on the assistant coaching staff, not Jeff Bowles, but somebody else to help with this offense. You know, not just we've had some recruiting screw-ups here, and then really since the Sullinger years, Ohio State has not really had a develops definitive secondary score. It was Deshaun Thomas and friends. It was LaQuinton Ross and friends. This was Mark Loving slash Jaquan Lyle and, you know, slash friends slash question mark. And that's led to some struggles within Big Ten play. I think that this team can turn it around. It might be built, you know, this coming year, they should be an NCAA tournament team. Depending on who they're able to get to plug in some of these roster holes, they might be a second round, maybe even better, kind of building towards the 2017-2018 season. But like, if this team doesn't make the tournament next year, or if they struggle a little bit, then there's some big questions, and then I think there'll have to be some structural changes to kind of address them, because this is a really tough conference. You don't get to have a 3 or 4 year rebuild because there's 6 or 7, 8 teams in the Big Ten that are going to be just as good as you are.
Yeah, and I feel the same way. I think it's not a hot take to be concerned with the basketball program and also think that Thad Mata is still the guy. I think we're both on the same wavelength on that. And you mentioned how the talent development really hasn't shown up, and I think that there's also a way to talk about Mark Loving without being overly critical, but being disappointed that whether it's due to coaching, a general malaise on his part, which I'm not saying there is, but whatever the factors are, he really hasn't lived up to it, and he's had his moments, but I think, for lack of a better term, he's kind of the poster boy right now of them bringing in a player and not completely being able to develop that player. And even the transfers, I think, are also a part of that with Grandstaff, Giddens, and Mickey Mitchell. I think that and A.J. Harris, that plays a role in it too. Not just, well, these guys don't want to be here, but I think it has to go on the coaching staff that either they didn't create an environment conducive for development, or they, at this point, just aren't able to develop most of these guys. And you mentioned the lack of a secondary score. How long has that been a problem? I think they counted on LaQuinton Ross to carry the load the last couple of seasons. Even back in the Sullinger era, you had guys, secondary guys like Buford and others who were there, but it's kind of always seemed like it's depended on one guy. And now that there isn't really that consistent superstar, not having a secondary player hurts even more.
Yeah. This is going to be a big year, in a lot of ways. I mean, we said that a little bit for this season, and that turned out to be true. But this coming year is really kind of a crossroads moment here for Ohio State basketball. There's going to be a lot of news, I think, over the next month, because we still don't know exactly what this roster is going to look like. They need another guard, and the question here is going to be whether they're adding high school players to this class or whether they're going to add a graduate transfer. The high school player is most likely to join, and I'm a little bit surprised he hasn't committed yet. That's Andre Wesson, who's a 3-star kid. He's Caleb Wesson, who's a 4-star commit for 2017. His brother was kind of an underrated prospect in Columbus and then grew a couple of inches and had a really great run throughout the state tournament. I think he's up to 6'7" now, 3-star kid. He's got a Butler offer, a Richmond offer, a couple others. He's somebody that projects as, I think, a plus defender on the wing. He's not an outstanding shooter yet and would be a potential redshirt candidate, especially because I think there's a little bit more depth on the wing for Ohio State next season for somebody who's not a pure scorer, with Loving and with Bates Diop and with Tate. You could potentially redshirt him. So that doesn't answer the depth question at the 1 and the 2. But there's not really another 2016 guard at the high school level that is like a Big Ten caliber that Ohio State's in on. Markell Johnson has said that he might reclassify 2016, but the word around the campfire right now is that that doesn't seem very likely academically. And also, Ohio State might not even be the favorite in that race anymore. Louisville's a factor. Virginia Tech is a big factor. There's some other schools that are kind of getting in on that race, and it seems like, for whatever reason, Ohio State might not be able to get there. Gary Trent, another 2017 guard, Ohio State's not really in the picture for that player anymore either. So they're going to have to go out for some other kids. And for graduate transfers, I mean, I wrote about this on the first. A lot of these bigger names are coming off the board. Cullen Neal is the only grad transfer that I've seen Ohio State tied to. He's a shooting guard that can handle the ball out of New Mexico, but Texas A&M and Ole Miss are in there too. I'm not sure if Ohio State's the favorite. They're the latest visit, the last visit, I think, on his calendar. Grant Mullins, a guy that I think would do well at Ohio State. The Buckeyes aren't tied to him. Caden Reinhart, Ohio State, Akeem Springs. These are guys that Ohio State's not going after, and then it's not really a deep list. So if Ohio State doesn't get Cullen Neal, they might be going into next season with one point guard and one true shooting guard, and that's a cause for some concern. We'll kind of have to see what happens.
Just to put a bow on this basketball talk, for everybody's sake, if the Mitchell family has another younger brother, I would encourage both parties to stay away. Don't go to Columbus. Go somewhere else.
Yeah, that's true. I might be a little bit worried about whoever takes the next Mitchell kid. Didn't Mike transfer from Texas Tech?
He did. He left Texas Tech, I want to say, right after the season. And I remember both of these guys had highlight tapes that were incredible. Mike's was, people were calling him, I think, the Abusement Park, I remember, was his nickname. And it seemed like if there was one guy that came out of that recruiting class that everybody thought was going to see the field immediately and be a stud, it was Mike Mitchell. And then Mickey Mitchell, his high school tape of him just throwing down dunk after dunk was awesome. And then you see at Ohio State, and that can go back to the coaching. That's not just on him. He was never really able to develop and ever look comfortable within that system.
It's funny that Mitchell was really one of the crown jewels of what I think has turned out to be Ohio State football's best recruiting class ever. And even then, we're going to see in a couple of weeks, with so many first rounders, so many second rounders, that was considered a relatively big miss. Even in that amazing class, there were a couple of guys that transferred or got hurt or never really did anything. Hopefully his career turns around, whether that's at FCS or at a third school. For whatever reason, guy hasn't found the right fit.
It just goes to show, Matt, that's why you only recruit three-star players like A.J. Hawk.
That's really, absolutely. You just need a couple of coaches' sons, some grit, some hustle. And quite frankly, I don't think the stars matter. I can't even say that. I only let that stand for 6 seconds. That's horseshit. Of course, the stars matter. That is some Nebraska or BYU fan malarkey for people who don't recruit highly regarded players. We'll talk about that a little bit more. So, there's one other thing I think I wanted to address here before we sign off, because I think we'll talk more about spring practice and the spring game as we get a little bit closer. There haven't been a ton of really big nuggets that have kind of come out from these practices other than Austin Mack is dunking on people. He was the guy, first guy to get his black stripe taken off in the spring that we can remember, really kind of making a case for some early playing time at wide receiver. We've seen a little bit of changes along the offensive line with Michael Jordan kind of making a move and Jamarco Jones and Isaiah Prince having a good camp. But there's nothing like earth-shattering from these first couple of practices. What I want to talk to you about now is what we do now. Because this, with no disrespect to lacrosse or baseball or volleyball or some of these other things here that are happening, but the calendar is kind of empty, right? I kind of was in this routine for football, which is working 90 hours a week and taking up my entire weekends. And for basketball, there's this routine and there's the kind of a schedule and everything. And now we're at this point where other than like the NFL draft and other than the spring game and a couple of other very small one-off events, the opening and everything, we're really kind of off in terms of major time commitments until August. This is our off season. So I'm wondering here, what are some things that you're going to do in the off season?
I'm going to eat a lot, Matt, and we'll get into that here in a second. I'm going to eat. I'm going to commit myself to getting back into the weight room and possibly even the community if time if time warrants it. But mostly eat, hit the gym, watch a lot of wrestling, probably watch some more draft stuff. I'm a big draft guy. I hate to out myself like that, being a part of draft Twitter. I don't want to be labeled as NFL draft guy, but I really do enjoy watching that in the lead up to it. So I'll dive into that here a little bit. And I'm a big baseball guy too, so totally immerse myself into some baseball. Go to a lot of Rockies games, even though I hate them. It's a great place to go see a game. But do the baseball thing here for the summer until we get right back into Ohio State football.
I used to be a lot more into baseball, but the Indians have sucked for a while. And even when they were kind of good, they just broke my heart in such dramatic and epic fashion that it kind of hurt my enthusiasm. And I also think because now at work, I'm having to spend so much more time invested in college sports that I kind of feel like I have to take some other sports out of my life. I don't have enough space to be that emotionally invested. But if you are, that makes the summer go by a lot easier.
Well, and I'm not going to blame you for not being completely invested in baseball. I think the one thing about the game of baseball is that, different from any other sports, since it's such a long season, it's so humbling that it just reminds you that you're human, especially when you root for a team like the Indians, or I root for the Padres. It really has a way of...
The who?
The San Diego Padres.
Never heard of
it. Yeah, exactly. So it shows you, I think, when you root for a team like that, it kind of puts things in perspective, because we're so spoiled with Ohio State that rooting for a team like that kind of just reminds you of your place in life. Or maybe I'm just such a pessimist that that's how I view baseball, and it helps keep my life in order.
That's a good point. For me, really just Cleveland sports in general, I think, it removes any lack of humility that I've picked up from Ohio State football, or if Ohio State basketball didn't help with that. I just turned 29 a couple of days ago. I think I'm probably a couple more years away from being old enough to really get back into baseball again. My cohort is less into it, but we'll see. Maybe things change. I'd like to lie to you here and say that I'm going to get back in the gym and back in the community. I did go on like a seven and a half mile hike last weekend, like right before the Final Four, to kind of get the cardiovascular systems going again, get the baby on the backpack. But I'm probably going to read a couple of books. That's what I try. I might get back to the piano. I picked that up last off season, trying to become a little bit more of a person. I used to be a drummer, but then when you move to a big city and you move out into an apartment, you can't really have a drum kit anymore. And I'm also probably going to eat a lot, and not necessarily eat a lot of healthy things, but I think just in terms of volume, we're going to be there. Going to try out some new recipes and probably eat some things that are going to make my wife judge me a little bit. It'll be good.
So you know how Xbox One has, I think they still have it, I haven't played yet, but back on the 360, they had like achievement levels that you could unlock.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you are going for the summer of dad achievement levels. Going for all of those achievement levels unlocked between hiking, reading some books, eating all the food, going volume. Very dad.
I was a dad before I had a daughter, and now that I have a daughter, my dad level has quadrupled. I am becoming a bigger, more powerful dad than I could have ever imagined. One of these days, you're going to come visit me in the office. I'm going to be wearing a Hawaiian shirt and some like New Balances and listen to the Eagles. And you're just like, how did this happen? He used to be kind of cool. And now he's dropping dad jokes, and he's become history's greatest monster. Speaking of video games, and I'll end here on this other embarrassing dad thing. I picked up a Raspberry Pi a couple of weeks ago. Have you heard of those?
I have not.
So what a Raspberry Pi is, it's a computer. It's about the size of a credit card. It's like $35. Recommend this if you're an electronics aficionado. It runs Linux instead of Windows. You get a little tiny case for it, and then you can run a series of emulators on it. So rather than like buying a Super Nintendo or buying a Game Boy or some of these other things, I got this credit card bad boy, hooked it up to my TV, and I can just download all the old Nintendo games that I want. So, did I teach my little girl how to play Mario? Maybe. Am I going to, you know, go through and find a bunch of old Neo Geo games that I never had as a kid and kind of blow through those in May? Probably will. Would recommend if you are interested in old school video games. We've got to run, unfortunately, right now, because I've had a couple of people from the grown-up journalism department here give me some dirty looks for taking their conference room. So we better boogie, but we'll get back in touch. I think we'll talk about the spring game and some spring practice as we get a little bit closer to that. We have some more fast food takes I think we have to discuss, but we'll be around in the near future. So we haven't forgotten about you. Real quick, my man, where can we find you on the internet and your takes and your wisdom?
You can find me at DubsCo. That's at DubsCo on Twitter, and then moving around the land grant site, sending off tweets, doing some Facebook stuff. Hopefully have an article churning since my work season is pretty much over with the Nuggets and Avalanche here in the next week. So look out for some spring practice and hopefully just some fire takes.
But that, you know, it's the weather's warming up. Our takes gotta join them. My man, thanks. It's great talking to you here. You can follow us at LandGrant33. I am at MattSBN. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, wherever, SoundCloud, wherever podcasts are found. And you can find us on Facebook at LandGrant, Holy Land. So find us all over the internet. Thanks for listening. We'll be in touch soon. Go Bucks.